open the Word of God with me to the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 17 through 18, and we're going to be talking about the ministry of reconciliation. You know, this is the year of the clean slate, the year of the clean slate, and we have preached about this, and God has declared that we are to proclaim release to the captives, recovery of sight to the blind, that the oppressed are going to be set free because it's the favorable year of the Lord. Now, there are times in our life when we just need a do-over. There are times in our life when we need a spiritual eraser. There are times in our life when we just need the slate to be wiped clean. And I want to tell you that this is the year of the clean slate. There are three things that I really hope to accomplish out of this message when you hear it in just a few moments. I want all of us to I want to introduce to all of us the ministry of reconciliation. I want all of us to have a better understanding of the ministry of reconciliation, and I want each of us to have a passion for the ministry of reconciliation. And the ultimate clean slate comes when a sinner is reconciled to God. Can I get an amen in the house today? Listen to 2 Corinthians 5:17 as I read this. And it says, therefore, if anyone is where? If anyone is in Christ, he is a what? A new creature. Now look at this great truth. The old things have what? Oh my goodness. I want you to think about every old thing that you don't want a part of your life anymore. Every old thing, every old way, every old habit, every old choice, every old thing that you don't want a part of your life. Now, I'm not talking about your spouse right now. Every old thing that needs to pass away, guess what? God has a way of wiping the slate clean. And look, he says, behold, new things have come in their place. New things have come. Now, how does this happen? How do you get a clean slate? How do I get a clean slate? How do the old things pass away? How do the new things come in their place? Now, all these things are where? They're from God. Only God can give you the clean slate that'll make a difference in your life. Only God can take the old things and remove them from you and bring the new things into your life. And now all these things are from God who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the what? The ministry of reconciliation. Can somebody say amen? Now, the year of the clean slate is when God makes things new. God is in the process of making things new for each and every one of us as we operate in his kingdom. The ultimate clean slate is what I call, number one, the miracle. The miracle. The ultimate clean slate is the miracle that we can experience and we can embrace. He says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things pass away. Behold, new things have come. What kind of things passes away and how do we get those things? Look at the phrase, if anyone is, now where's that location? In Christ. I challenge you to study your Bible and look to the phrase in Christ and just bless yourself by reading in Christ. How many times the Apostle Paul used the reference to being in Christ. Now to be in Christ means to be in righteousness. It means to be in relationship with God that's right. And how many of you know the joy of being in a right relationship with somebody? How many of you know the burden to come from being in a wrong relationship with somebody? I want to tell you, we are born without a relationship with God. We have to be born again to be in a relationship with God. And when you get in the relationship with God, you are in Christ, you are in righteousness. And all that God has becomes all that you are. And all that you were is given to God. Jesus takes that upon himself. So let's look at the things. Old things passed away, and behold, new things have come. Now, what kind of new things have come? Now, we're not talking primarily about physical things here. Now, on October 21st, 1980, I became born again. I became in Christ. Now, if I was fat when I got born again, that wouldn't be passed away from me. I'd still be fat when I got born again. If Pastor Darrell didn't have hair when he got born again, he wouldn't get up with hair. That'd still be with him. I'm not talking about those kinds of things, but I'm talking about things that really, really make a difference. What it means to be a new creature, what it means to be a new creation, what it means that new things have come is first and foremost is my relationship with God is new. We have a new relationship with God that's based on righteousness. And God won't accept you without you being righteous. But you can't work to become righteous. It has to be given to you. And that's the person of Jesus. Jesus was 100% righteous. And this being in Christ is a transfer. It's the theological phrase of being imputed. That means it's taken from somebody's account and put into somebody else's account. Now, what is in God's account has to be put into your account. And when you got saved, when you got born again, or if you get saved today, then all that God has in his account gets put into your account. And so you come into the potential relationship bankrupt of righteousness. You come in your account overdrawn in sin. You come into the account just absolutely plagued with wickedness and evil and intentions. But what God does is he takes that away from you and he says, I'm going to put righteousness in you. And so get this, when God looks at you from that moment forward, he never looks at you through your sin. He never looks at you through your sin. Now, when you sin and I sin, you ought to feel bad about it. But God's not looking at you any different. You're looking at yourself different. The world looks at you differently. Religious people look at you differently, but God doesn't. Why? Because God is completely satisfied with what you become. And what you become is a new creation full of righteousness that he has given to you. So when you get saved, it's a miracle. It's a miracle. It can't be done by works. It can't be produced by religion. It can't be done by any other thing than an absolute miracle of God to where he says, I'm going to make you righteous if you come to me in Jesus. So the first thing that's new is your relationship with God. The second thing that's new is your relationship with Satan. You see, you don't belong to his kingdom anymore when you're in Christ. You've been transferred from the kingdom of Satan to the kingdom of God. And so Satan hates you because of the transfer. He hates you because you have escaped what he'll never escape. You have experienced what he'll never experience. You have received what he'll never receive. And you're going where he'll never go. And you've got a destiny that he'll never have. So your relationship with sin, with God changes. Your relationship with Satan changes. But guess the your relationship with sin changes. That no longer do you have to be a servant of sin. No longer do you have to be in bondage to sin. No longer do you have to live unforgiven of sin. God gives forgiveness to those who are in Christ. God gives freedom to those who are in Christ. God gives second chances to those who are in Christ. God gives grace to those who are in Christ. God gives gifts to those who are in Christ. God gives mercy to those who are in Christ. God gives a hope to those who are in Christ. God gives forgiveness to those who are in Christ. God gives love to those who are in Christ. God gives a secure eternity to those who are in Christ. And beloved, that's the miracle. That's the miracle. If anyone's in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things passed away. Behold, new things have come. Now, all of these things and so much more, they only come from God. You can't get them from the church. You can't get them from the government. You can't get them from a spouse. You can't get them from a family. You can't get them from riches. You can't get them from anywhere else. They only come from God, who reconciled us to Himself. Not counting, look at this, here's the miracle, not counting their trespasses against them. Wow. Oh my goodness, if that ever occurs to you, you'll never get over it occurring to you. That how many of you have got a list in your mind of top five sins that you hate to commit, but you regularly do? You don't have to stand up or anything right now. But when I talk about your besetting sin or sins, you know, oh my goodness. And there comes a time when you think you've committed that sin so much that you can never be forgiven for it again. Or that the thought comes to your mind that if these people just knew where I had been, if these people just knew what I had done, they'd never say I could be forgiven. Well, I want to tell you, God says He doesn't count your trespass against you. God doesn't do that. Why? Because you exchanged it. You gave all of your sins to Jesus. And Jesus gave all of His righteousness to you. So that when God looks at you, He looks at you as pure. You say, well preacher, you don't know what I did last night. You know God still looks at you as pure? He still looks at you pure because He looks at you through the blood of Jesus. Now that doesn't mean that you're going to have the same joy of fellowship if you don't confess and forsake your sin. But God doesn't love you any less because you got dirty. God doesn't love you any less because you played the fool, because I played the fool. God chose to love you from eternity past. And nothing that God chose in eternity can be undone by what you or I choose in time. Somebody say, praise the Lord. That's a miracle. Let's move quickly. We got a long way to go in a short time to get there. All right, the miracle. There's a second thing that I want to show you that flows out of the miracle. And please never get over the miracle. And if you haven't experienced the miracle, but before you leave here today, we want you to experience the miracle, okay? The miracle then leads to the ministry. The ministry that flows out of the miracle. Now look at this. Those that become new creatures, those who have had old things passed away, those who have had the new things to come, those things that came from God who reconciled us to Himself, not counting their trespasses against them, they have been given a ministry. Say, I've got a ministry. Now let me show you what that ministry is. Those people who've been recipients of the miracle. Now if you've been reconciled to God, you've been given the miracle. You've experienced the miracle. You are a miracle. And for all of eternity, you'll be a walking miracle. Every moment that you're in eternity in heaven, you'll be saying, thank God for the miracle. Thank God for the miracle. Thank God for the miracle. And every day that you live conscious of being a new creation in Christ, having your sins transferred from you onto Jesus when He died and rose from the dead, and having His righteousness transferred to you, you'll thank God for the miracle when you think about it. But then the ministry, look at this. And those who have the miracle, He has committed to us the what? The ministry of reconciliation. Now let me talk to you about three words in that verse, okay? Look at the word committed. God has committed something to you. That word committed means to ordain. God has ordained. That means to lay something in someone's charge. That means to give someone a sacred trust or a responsibility to do. Say, God has ordained me. God has laid something in my possession. And I want to know what it is. Look at this. And He has committed to us. He has ordained us. He has laid something in our possession. He has given us something to do. And what He's committed to us is the what? What's the word after the? Say ministry. Say, did you know that you've been called to the ministry? Everybody in here has been called to the ministry. Do you know what the word ministry is here? It's the word, and I'm going to bore you. No, it's the word diakonia. We say, well, what in the world is that, preacher? It's the word for deacon. You say, well, what is that? It's a servant. And God has ordained us to serve. God has ordained us to serve, to minister, to meet the needs of people. And what is this ministry that God has called us to do? It's He's called us to serve as ministers of what? Reconciliation. Now, who needs to be reconciled? Sinners need to be reconciled to God. Backsliders need to be reconciled to God. And God has laid at our feet, God has put within our possession, God has ordained us to serve unbelievers. It got quiet. God has ordained you, God has ordained me to serve unbelievers. You know what we what the world and the flesh and the devil wants us to do? It wants us to get mad at unbelievers. It wants us to try to clean up unbelievers like fish. It wants us to make unbelievers religious. But God didn't tell you to make anybody religious. They got enough problems on themselves without getting religious. God wants us to serve the unbelieving community because they need to be reconciled to God. God doesn't need to be reconciled to them. They need to be reconciled to God. Now, what does it mean to be reconciled? It means to be forgiven. It means to be in a right relationship. It means to become the righteousness of God. And so we've got a ministry. We've been ordained. We've been called by God. Every single one of us have been ordained. We've been called. We've been selected to serve the unbelieving community. Can somebody say amen? Amen. We've been called. We've been ordained. We've been selected to serve the backsliders and to help them to be reconciled to God. Can somebody say amen? Amen. There's a third thing that I want to show you. We see the miracle, and out of the miracle flows the ministry. And then look at the third thing that flows out of the ministry that God has given to us, the message. What is the message that God has ordained that we carry in our service to the unbelievers? Namely, he says, namely this, priority this, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. What are we to carry? What message are we to carry as we're serving the unbelieving community? Is that God will not count your trespass against you. God will forgive you of anything you've been done, anywhere you've been, any choice you've made, any sin you've committed. Isn't that a wonderful message that we get to deliver? Oh my goodness, not counting their trespasses against them, and he has, look at this, committed, he has committed to us the what? The word of what? Now the word for word is logos. That means the message. That means the totality. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. That was the logos. God has committed to us. God has laid at our feet. God has put into our guardianship. God has put into our life the Word, the message of reconciliation. And what is the word of reconciliation? Here it is. Look at this. God made him, Jesus, who knew no sin, He made him who knew no sin on our behalf so that we might become the righteousness of God where? In him. That's the message of reconciliation we are to be carrying to the unbelieving world while we're serving them. That when you've got a smile on your face, and you've got the love of Jesus in your heart, then you've got a message that comes out of your lips that God wants to remove your sin from your life. God wants to make things right in your soul. God wants to give you a hope. He wants to take away your sin. He wants to make things new in your life. And God sent me here to tell you all about it. And when you're serving, you get a much better audience than when you're preaching. When you're serving, you get a much better audience than when you're condemning. When you're serving, you get a much better hearing than when you're being prejudiced. And God wants us serving so that the message doesn't get confused in religion. Amen? There is the miracle. There is the ministry. There is the message. And as look at this fourth one, there is the mission. There is the mission. He says in verse 20, what's the first word? Therefore. Now anytime you see therefore, you need to find out what it's there for. It always refers back to what was just said. Based on what was just said, therefore, we, who's we? Those who have received the miracle. Those who've been given the ministry. Those who know the message. We are what? Ambassadors for whom? Now what is an ambassador? Now an ambassador is a person that represents someone in authority from somewhere else. An ambassador is not representing the place where they're at. An ambassador is representing the person and the place that sent them. So who are we ambassadors for? We are ambassadors for Christ. You see, an ambassador doesn't go to declare war on a people or a place. An ambassador goes to try to make peace between people and places. Amen? And so we are ambassadors. We're not here to declare war. The war's already been declared. We're here to try to announce that there is a way that you can find peace in the middle of this war. And there is a war going on, and it's in the spiritual realm. And the world is at war against you. The devil is at war against you. Your own flesh is at war against you. But God has come to offer peace to you. And I am His ambassador. Now look at this. An ambassador for Christ. Now look at this. When you and I are serving, when you are ministering, when you and I are carrying the message, look at what it says in verse 20. We are ambassadors. We're representing the King of all kings and the Lord of all lords who's in another place, who's inviting everybody to come and make peace through the blood of His Son, Jesus. Now, when we are ambassadors for Christ, we are ambassadors of Christ as though God were making what? He's making an appeal through us. It is an absolute miracle to experience. When you are serving the unbelievers in the world, when you are serving the backsliders in the world, when you're serving those in the valley of the shadow of death, and you are delivering the message that God has asked you to deliver for Him, it's not you talking. It's not me talking. It's God making His appeal through your service. It's God making His appeal through your message. It's God making His appeal through the words that are being spoken. And I mean, God's in you. And there's something that happens when you stand up or I stand up and we open our mouths and let the love of God that's in our hearts shed abroad and we begin to make an appeal. God says, I'll take this. And He begins to convince them that the message is true and the promises are authentic. And then they say, I'd like to have that righteousness that you're talking about. I'd like to have that forgiveness that you're talking about. I'd like to have that assured home in heaven that you're talking about. I'd like to have that abundance of life that you're talking about. I'd like to have that joy unspeakable and full of glory that you're talking about. And God makes His appeal through us. And then it says, we what? We beg you, we urge you, we implore you on behalf of Christ to what? Be reconciled to God. Let God do His thing. Let God do what He created you to do. Let Him redeem you. Let Him forgive you. Let Him seal you with the Holy Spirit. Let Him give you a hope and glory. Let Him give you a purpose in life. Let Him take the old things away from you. Let Him replace it with new things. Let Him take that old relationship with sin away and give you a new relationship with righteousness. Let Him take the old relationship with Satan and give you a new relationship with Jesus. Let Him take it away. We beg you to be reconciled to God. That's what it's all about. You don't even have to shout. You don't have to lose your voice. All you have to do is let the love of God that's in your heart be shed abroad. And you just take your hands and you take your feet and you find a way to serve unbelievers. You find a way to serve backsliders. You find a way to serve people in the name and power of God. And you will be fulfilling the mission God has given you. You know why there's so many dissatisfied people in the church? They've lost their mission. Or they've never entered into the mission. They don't see the beauty. They don't see the joy. And they don't make it a priority to serve people. Now, you don't have to serve people at church. You can serve people anywhere God has positioned you and assigned you and stationed you. We come together at church to get different assignments and find out where you found God working, and we find out where we find God working, and we're going to join Him in that work. Can somebody say amen? Amen? The mission. There's a whole lot that we could say about those, but the miracle, the ministry, the message, and the mission all flow together. And where it gets most confusing is in the fifth one, and that's the methods. What methods do you use to fulfill the mission? What methods do you use to fulfill your ministry? What methods do you use to implore people to experience the miracle? Well, methods are a dime a dozen. You can take most any method that you want, and if you'll work it, you can probably name your weight in the kingdom. Methods change as cultures change, but the mission never does. The message never does. The ministry never does. The miracle never does change. What are the methods that we are currently implementing and seeking for people to know and to embrace here? There are five of them that we want to use as standards for how we can go about fulfilling our mission and delivering the message of reconciliation. Here's the first one. We have to reach people. We have to reach people, or we attempt to reach people with unconditional love. Now let's talk about that. And they flow in this order. What does it mean to reach people? It means that you establish contact with somebody. That's when you've reached them. You've established contact with them. It means a relationship is beginning to form. It can be casual. It could be cold. It could be aloof. It could be distant. Or it could become up close and personal. But that's the purpose that God has given to us as ambassadors. We have to reach people. And what is the most effective tool that we can use? What is the most effective weapon that we can have in reaching people? It's called unconditional love. It's unconditional love, and unconditional love is something that only can come from God. God's the only one that loves unconditionally. We most often love conditionally. We say, I love you, Larry, if you don't ever say a bad thing about me. I love you. Children get the message from parents. I love you if you make good grades. But I don't beat the tar out of you if you don't. And so people are disarmed with unconditional love. And people are challenged to love unconditionally. Unconditional love doesn't come naturally to you or me. It comes naturally from God and a relationship with God. Now, we've got several reaching ministries that we're trying to utilize at Truth Tabernacle of Praise. We've got annual reaching ministries. We've got seasonal reaching ministries. We've got weekly reaching ministries. And we use them to unapologetically to try to establish contact with unbelievers. We use them unapologetically to try to build a relationship with unbelievers, with backsliders, with people going through crises in life of all stages and phases of life. Why? Because we're ministers. Why? Because we have a message. Why? Because we have this miracle that we want them to know. And so look at what the Bible says. He has committed to us the ministry of reconciliation. Go therefore and do what? Make disciples. You're not going to make a disciple that you don't first reach. And you're going to make less disciples if you don't reach them with unconditional love. Some churches, they're filled with hate. And you know more about what they're against than what they're for. And they try to make disciples out of hate and out of legalism. But God didn't call you to legalism. God didn't call you to hatred. God called you to be a peacemaker. God called you to be an ambassador. God called you to be filled with the Spirit of love. And God called to take that unconditional love of Jesus out and make your first contacts with people. Can somebody say amen? So that's our first step. And what we try to reach people with unconditional love. You know, we give away and have, probably for every year since we've been a church, annually, we give away school supplies and backpacks. But you know, we don't have a school supply and backpack ministry. We've got a love ministry. We've got a reaching ministry. We use backpacks and school supplies to reach our community with unconditional love. Said, we love this, and we ultimately want to be able to tell you about the ministry that we have of reconciliation. Why do we reach people with unconditional love? Because we got a promise from God from 1 Corinthians. Love never fails. Amen. Number two, we attempt to reach people with unconditional love. But number two, once we reach people with unconditional love, we attempt to teach people with uncommon compassion. We attempt to teach people with uncommon compassion. Why? He has committed to us the what? The word, the message of what? Of reconciliation. Now, if the first introduction people have of us is an introduction with unconditional love, they're going to be much more open to hearing the message we have with compassion. And but we have to move from reaching to teaching. We can't teach before we reach. But once you reach, you got to teach. Can somebody say amen? Amen? And then look at what the Great Commission calls for. Go into all the world. That's to reach them. And then it says, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you. We've got to have a teaching ministry that's full of compassion. That was the invitation that Miss Lois made to us earlier. We've got teaching opportunities with our children. We've got teaching opportunities with adults and with teenagers. We've got teaching opportunities. Why? Because that's how we fulfill the ministry of reconciliation. So we attempt to teach people with uncommon compassion. Number three, look at this one. Number three, we attempt to win people with unending grace. We attempt to win people with unending grace. You know, when you've reached somebody with love, when you have taught somebody with compassion, it's a whole lot easier for them to be won to Jesus with that grace. And look at what your Bible says about grace. But as many as received Him, to them He gave the right to become children of God. Somebody say, praise the Lord. And then it says, we saw His glory, glory as of the only begotten from the Father, full of what? Full of grace and what? Truth. And then we see the declaration in Ephesians 2:8, for by grace you have been what? Through faith. You know, the ultimate privilege that's ours is that in our time of relationship building with people, we've been able to reach them with love. We've been able to teach them with compassion, that God should grant us the awesome privilege of seeing them reconciled to Him by grace through faith. But, you know, whether they get reconciled to God or not is not our responsibility. It's our passion to introduce them to that privilege. It's our privilege to offer them that invitation. And it's God who makes the appeal through us, but it's between them and God if they will be won by grace. But if we are a grace-based people, then grace is going to be like a magnet to people who need their sins forgiven, people who need a second chance. Amen? And then number four, we attempt to assimilate people with unequaled service. What we do as a church is we seek to assimilate people into the life of our church. When we seek to assimilate people in the life of our church, it's because they've been introduced to the ministries of our church, to the opportunities in our church, to the blessings of our church. And you know, what our church does that's unique is that you don't even have to have yet been won to Jesus by grace to serve in some capacities here. Not all capacities. You know, you can be a part of our Keepers of God's House while you're in the process of being won into grace. You could be a part of our food distribution ministry while you're in the process of being won by grace. You could help in the cleanup after we have distributed God's love to people on a weekly basis, and you might not even have been won by grace yet or not. Now, we just want to know that sometimes when you allow people the privilege of being assimilated into serving, they begin to find that serving in the kingdom of God is of unequaled privilege. Look at what your word says. Instruct them to do good. To be what? Rich in what? Good works. To be generous and ready to what? To share. Storing up for themselves the treasure of a good foundation for when? My goodness, you know, we got people here that's storing up themselves a great treasure for the future. I mean, you are laying things up in heaven, up in glory for the future that's just absolutely unparalleled. And one day when this temporary life is over and you enter into the eternal realm of your destiny, the Father's going to say, enter in, my faithful servant, into the treasure of your rewards. You've laid ahead great treasures and benefits for yourself, for the future, so that they may take hold of that which is life indeed. You see, some people, while they're serving, they find out what eternal life is all about. And we seek to assimilate people with unequaled service into the life of our church. And number five, the last thing that I want you to see, is our ultimate priority for all of eternity is to worship God with people in spirit and in truth. Those are the five principles that we use. Look at this. Jesus said the true worshipers will worship the Father in what? In spirit and what? Truth. For such people, the Father seeks to be His worshipers. What we do here on Sunday morning, our first day of the week corporate gathering, is we attempt to set an atmosphere and provide an open gateway for people to enter into the gates with thanksgiving and enter into the courts with praise so that we can worship God with all kinds of people in spirit and in truth. Worship requires the Holy Spirit. Worship involves the human spirit. And worship is always guided by God's truth. And it is the truth that sets you free. Amen? So that is what God wants us to do through this ministry of reconciliation that He has given to us. If you think that you have a little better understanding about the ministry of reconciliation, would you say amen? Amen? Well, let me say this to you and to those that are watching by way of live stream. The ministry of reconciliation is the miracle that you can be reconciled. You can have a right relationship with God today. You know, you don't have to go through classes to be reconciled with God. You don't have to go through confirmation to be reconciled with God. What you need and what I need is a faith that is a right now faith. If you were on an airplane and that airplane was about to crash and burn and everybody's going to be killed, wouldn't you be glad that Jesus said that he could save you right now? You wouldn't have time to go through a class. You wouldn't have time to go through a confirmation. You wouldn't have time to even go through a baptism. But you could have time to be saved by grace through faith, to have your sins forgiven, your name written in the book of life, and your soul secured by the Spirit of Almighty God. Reconciliation is the miracle that you can experience today. You can be reconciled to God today. And if you have never been reconciled to God, today God has told me to invite you to be reconciled to Him. Number two, listen to this. The miracle of reconciliation is the ministry that you can serve unbelievers with the love of Jesus overflowing from your heart. There's all kinds of opportunities for you to serve unbelievers and backsliders. And if you're not presently involved in a ministry of serving, I implore you to step up to the commitment that God has given to you. You've been ordained. Come on and now and get your credentials and serve the Lord with gladness. Here's the message of reconciliation, is that God is in Christ reconciling sinners to Himself. God removes your sins from your account. And God has committed you, God has ordained you to the ministry and service of reconciliation. And you can become the righteousness of God right here and right now today.
You've been listening to a message from Truth Tabernacle of Praise. We encourage you to explore the many sermons available on our website, www.truthtabernacle.net. If you'd like more information and you're listening in the United States, please call 404-297-7700. That's 404-297-7700. Or send an email to info@truthtabernacle.net. Again, that's info@truthtabernacle.net. We would love to hear about how this message has encouraged you in some way. For those living around or visiting the Metro Atlanta area, we invite you to attend in person. You'll find the music refreshing and the people friendly and inviting. Join us for worship this Sunday morning at 10:30 a.m. Truth Tabernacle of Praise is located at 5705 Memorial Drive in Stone Mountain, Georgia. Thanks again for listening, and may God bless you.